This letter was written by a person named Paul the Apostle. I don't know if you've studied much about Paul's life. Paul, when he was younger, not much older than some of you, had gone through Jewish school, and he was an up-and-coming young Jewish scholar and leader. He went by the name of Saul from the city of Tarsus. He was very on fire for God. He was so on fire that he was out arresting these people who were known as Christians. And he was putting them into prison. He actually was present when one of them, Stephen, was stoned to death. And he held the cloaks, the clothes, the coats of the people who threw the stones and killed Stephen. Well, Saul, on one of his journeys to arrest Christians, was on his way to Damascus, a nearby city. And on the way to Damascus, he had a vision that was so overwhelming to him that it changed his entire life. No longer was he Saul the persecutor, but he became Paul the missionary. And Paul then, Christ sent him out into the Gentile world, places where there were no Christians at all. And Paul went out onto many journeys, and we read about those in the book of Acts. Many times Paul was put in prison. When he wrote Ephesians, he was in prison, possibly in Caesarea of Philippi, or it could have even been his last imprisonment in Rome. He was in prison many times. He was beaten, sometimes to the point of death. I just could imagine what his back was like. It was all chewed up from being beaten and whipped. And sometimes the Romans and the Jews would put little pieces of bone and metal into the whips, and it would tear someone's back up until it became like ground meat. And other times, Paul was on ships and was shipwrecked. Sometimes he was sick. But he never gave up his call to go and take the gospel to the people around him. And this passage, I imagine in my mind that Paul is thinking about the change that God made in his life because he was a follower of Jesus Christ. In this passage we've been looking at, we started looking at it just last night, back in verse 17. Paul says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord." He's testifying it. So this is really his personal testimony. This is the change that God has made in his life. "That you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do." The key word there is walk. The word walk is used several times in his letter here to the Ephesians. Walk is another word for live. This is how you should live your life. This is how you should go about your business. The opening lines of an ancient book that was written soon after the New Testament, it's called the Didache, an early Christian document, says that there are two paths. I think you can go to the next slide. Two paths. One that leads to life and one that leads to death. And the difference between the two is great. The old life, and we saw this last night, it was kind of depressing. It was kind of a depressing message last night for those of you who are here. The old life, it's one of emptiness, of pain and sorrow. You may not think that right now, but the choices you make right now will determine what path you're going to go on the rest of your life. And if you are perceptive, and if you look at the people around you, you will see that some of the choices, the people that you know, some of those choices that Lev has led them down the wrong path. A path of misery and sorrow and of pain. That's not God's plan for us. God has a plan for us of happiness, of peace, of joy, of blessing. But we cannot experience those things if we go down the path that is characterized by the old life. The way of the new life, the way of Christ, does not come by seeking our own agenda or using our own intellect. You are developing your mind right now, your intellect. And that's very important. And we will see in this passage that our minds need to be changed. If we continue on the path of our own thinking, it will lead us into sorrow. The way of Christ is the way of the cross. Striving after our own agenda puts ourselves on the throne of our lives. A radical break needs to happen. We need to make a choice at some point to take that other path, the way of the cross. So Paul says here in verse 21, "You have heard the truth and you have learned it." The life of Christ comes through learning. The same word is used here for discipleship. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are learners of Him. This, though, is more than just simply intellectual growth. You can learn a lot about Jesus, but never really know Him. Bible college is a great time to learn about Jesus, but it's also a good time to know Him. You can make decisions now that will last your entire lifetime. It's much deeper than just simply studying your books or coming to chapel or even having your devotions. It is something that is very deep and personal that begins with a choice to make Jesus your Lord and Master. People are seeking truth today. What is true and what is deep meaning in our life? It is the content of Jesus Christ. The truth comes in two parts. First of all, we have to put off the old self. There has to be this radical decision, a choice. Sin cannot be part of our lives. We've got to say no to the temptations and the sins that will come across our path. We can no longer live the way we used to. We have to become part of a new existence. We have a new source of power. Just like we have a source of power today. It's outside and it's running. It's producing the power for us today. Jesus is like that generator out there. He's producing new power for us. And this new power will lead to a new lifestyle. It will lead to a new identity. My identity is not one of a certain country or a certain people group. My identity is found in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where I go in the world, I'm still a follower of Jesus. Why live by the old life that is so meaningless and hopeless? Don't be blinded by the enticement of sin in the world around us. And this is both a decision we must make at one point in our life, and we must continue to make that decision. I'll point that out in a couple of passages later on. So how do we do this? We must make a decision. The old life must come to an end. We must say, I've had it. I do not want to live to please myself anymore. I want to live now to please Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. What has gone? The old has, hasn't it? The old has gone. And the new has come. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's the old life. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also used to live among them at one time. That's what we were like at one time. We're all like the people out there. Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature's object of wrath. How do we die to the old way of life? How do we say no to that? Paul gives us a clue in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin. In other words, don't be involved in things that will allow sin to take hold of our life. When a temptation comes our way, with God's help, because the Holy Spirit's going to point a different direction to us, with God's help, we can say no to that. In fact, we can even cry out for help. God, help me. This temptation is so strong, but I want to say no to it. Will you give me help? And God will come to the rescue. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And the verse goes on to say, "But rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness." The key word in Romans 6:13 is offer. Give. Hand over. Put at the disposal of. Sacrifice yourself on the altar to God. It really comes down to the decision of who will we worship. It always comes down to that. You want to pass theology 101 and 102? And Pastor Cesar and the other instructors, just tell them it all comes down to who you're going to worship. Are you going to put God first in your life or something else out in this created world? Go on to the next picture. I want to share a little bit of a story. This is an old car. Used to be my car. That's the first picture I saw of it. This is a 1969 MG Midget. MG is a bit, it comes from the British, Brits. This is the car as I saw it. And I bought this off of, you can see down at the bottom, Insurance Auto Auctions. I thought, ooh, that's a cool car. I want to do something with that. So I bought it, it wasn't very much, a couple hundred dollars. And I had it shipped to my house in Idaho. So go on to the next picture. So I put it in my garage. I had all these great plans. In fact, I was going to turn it into an electric car, but I ended up just doing some other things to it. So now it's in my garage, and the tires are flat. The top of it is all worn out and cracked. The inside, the interior, it doesn't look good. There's dirt everywhere. In fact, I found a dead scorpion in there. Go on to the next one. I'll keep telling the story. If it's working, oh, that's too bad. We'll see what happens. But anyway, so this car, I decided I wanted to rebuild this car. And I took it completely apart. I mean, I took everything apart in this car. I took the engine apart, all the little pieces I had all over the floor in my garage. I took the interior apart. I took the dashboard out of the car, and I put a new cover on the dashboard. I put new carpet in. I took the body outside. The car is so small. It's like it would fit in this little area. I could pick it up myself. It was so light. I took it out and I did sandblasting of it to try to get the old paint off. In fact, it had been in a wreck at one point and the back of it was kind of twisted. So I hooked it up to my garage door with a jack. And I put the front of it underneath my truck, and I used a jack to literally bend the frame of the car till it was straight. It had a place where it had a little dent, so I fixed that with some Bondo. We'll see if they get it. If not, maybe you can just turn that screen around or something. They could maybe see it. Yeah, it might be hard to see, but that I'm sandblasting it right there. Can you see it all right? Oh, there, it's coming on a little bit. Okay. Coming back on. So there I have it completely apart, trying to get the paint off. That's where the engine used to be. Okay, you can go on to the next one. That is what the engine looked like when I got it. All dusty and dirty. It had been sitting out in the desert for about 20 years. Okay, go on to the next slide. That's what the engine looked like when I was finished. Oh. Nice, isn't it? Beautiful. Go on to the next one. So now I decided I need to paint this thing. So I sanded it all down. Boy, have you ever painted a car before? I painted 4 of them so far in my life, and they all are a lot of work. You go out and you got to sand it and get it all smooth. So now it's all ready to paint. I'm taping things up. Go on to the next slide. So now I've done the painting. Boy, it was a beautiful paint job. It had sparkles in it and like about 8 coats of clear coat on it. Go on to the next one. Now I've got the engine back in. And I'm putting it back together. Next slide. Now I'm done. Ooh, nice, huh? Beautiful car. I could barely get in it, though. It was so small. Like, my knees would hit the dashboard. And I had to literally crawl out of the car. Go on to the next one. So there's the interior. All redone. I redid the doors, the top, repainted the steering wheel. All of that, I took everything apart and repainted. And I think there's one more. So there, it has a new top. I found some new seats from someone who was selling some. And I painted the wire wheels, so they look really nice. Oh, maybe I should tell you the bad thing. When I put the front end together, I put them on the wrong side. And those wheels, you actually have to twist on the nut. There's one part that keeps the whole wheel on. So I'm with my son, and we're going to do our maiden voyage, our test drive. So we're going down the street. All of a sudden, I hear this clink, 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 clink. And then all of a sudden, I feel the car go thump, and I see this wheel go off. I had put the left on the right side. So when I put the wheel on, it actually untwisted when I was driving. And my son was so embarrassed because we had to get someone to help us. But luckily I had a spare wire nut to put so I had to take the whole front end apart again. But anyway, yeah, that was my car. And then I sold it about a year ago, year and a half ago. But go on to the next one. Just like that car, God wants to make us new. New people. New creations. Put on the new self. To be made new is in the present tense in the original language. To put off is in the aorist tense. Those of you who study Greek know that the aorist tense is a decisive decision. Make that decision to put off the old self and then be putting on the new self. Because you know why it's present tense? Because it never stops in this lifetime. I've had some cars, and this car, I worked on that for a whole year. Every day I went out and did something. It took me a long time to do that project. I've had other projects that I just kept at over and over again. God does that to us. God is continually changing us. When we are confronted with Christ, we are faced with a decision. Who's going to be in control? Who's going to be in the driver's seat of our car? Are we going to be the driver? And are we going to call the decisions? Or are we going to let God drive? Are we going to be in the passenger seat saying, "Here, let me help you"? Or are we going to just put ourselves in the back seat and let God chauffeur us? He wants to guide our lives. Our new nature is transformed, and it doesn't stop. We are continually being changed into the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ, into what God has created us to be. God has created every one of you to become like Jesus Christ. He is the model, the goal of who we are. What do we put on? Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we take off the old, the world and all of the misery it provides for us, and we put on the new. We put on the new self. A new order of existence comes, a new creation. This change is both quick and slow. You may see some changes in your life right away. But there may be some things that God's going to have to work on for a while. He's going to have to be out there sanding a little while on it. And soon it's going to be polished. But it's going to take a while. And sometimes those changes are painful. They don't come easy. Become what God has made you to be. It's returning to what God has created us to be. And we have been created to be after His likeness. A life that is patterned after God. Created in this verb, in this verse, is a passive participle. Those of you who are studying Greek know that a participle is an action word. And it is passive here because God is doing it to us. God is recreating us. It's what God does for us. Our responsibility is to put on. God is the one who does the recreating. And we are being recreated, Paul says here, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness. Those are big words, aren't they? Righteousness and holiness. Righteousness, I'm going to talk about that tonight a little bit in the passage that follows. There's two alternatives for us. We can be unbelievers, being deceived by the world, and our lives will end in sorrow and destruction. Or we can put on Jesus Christ, be transformed into new creations. Why continue in the old life? Why continue to live our lives out there kind of like my old car? You know, just junk. That's what the world offers us. Sorrow and destruction. Or we can put on Christ. We have to make a decisive decision. Christ or I. Back in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. This is my personal life verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Are you willing to come to that point in your life where you say it's no longer I who is calling the shots, but it is Christ who is my guide? He is my Lord. He is my Master. He is the one that I'm listening to. This is a decision you have to make every day. Paul says here that he lived his life by faith. Every day, faith. I trust you, God. And so we live with an awareness that Christ is with us daily, moment by moment. The danger in college is that we separate our mind from our behavior. We make the Christian life a matter of intellect and of thinking. We fill our minds even with good things, even with theology and Bible. That's great. But yet it never seems to get down to the heart level. And that's what we must do, is we must get down to the heart level. We study Scripture, we study church history, other great subjects, but we never make Christ Lord of our life. And so it comes down to a couple of questions I want to end with today. Is there enough evidence in our life that people can see that Christ is Lord and Master? Can people see a difference in the way we live? Is Christ evident in your life? Can you people see Jesus Christ in your life? Martin Luther said these words, "A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing." If we are truly sincere, and if we want to see God make a difference in our life, we've got to do what this passage says here. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. I want to continue these thoughts tonight, so I really encourage you to come back tonight. But I know some of you live off campus and won't be here tonight. So I want to leave you with this challenge, because this will be the last time that some of us will be together in this kind of setting. So let's just think about this as we close
this service. And I just encourage you to stand, invite you to stand, encourage you to close your eyes as we stand and begin to think. Our musicians will be coming. We'll be closing our service, but to ask deep within your heart, is God speaking to me this morning? Is my life too much like that old car, that old MG Midget, where it's looking a little bit cracked, a little bit dirty? I've been listening a little bit too much to the world and not enough to the Holy Spirit. And I want to make that decision today that I want to become a new creation in Christ. I want to make that choice. And I want to put myself before Christ and say, here I am, Lord. I want to follow your path for me.